Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey everybody, my name is Doug and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies coming to you from a hotel room in Houston, Texas on Monday, October 10th, Two Oceans 11, Columbus Day. Yay. My guest today is no stranger to this podcast. Please welcome Sean Jordan.
Woo!
Oh, that's good. You gave yourself a welcome noise.
Nobody else is here to do it.
Because that is weird for me when it's just the two of us in a hotel room for me to be saying welcome you. But I don't know how else to say it. I guess I could say I'm here with Sean Jordan. Hey, Sean.
What's up?
You participated in what I like to call the How High Is Too High episode last week at the Helium Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon. The show that at Kevin J. Mills tweeted, he tweeted about it saying, "How stoned is Doug Benson in his latest podcast? It's like a Michael Jackson phone call to his doctor." So that was pretty good. Oh, see, I knew something like this might happen. The
you can't just be having a dirty floor next
The room door. Next door has to have a vacuum floor. It's weird to me that they vacuum the floor of every room you stay in after you stay there. Like, I rarely do anything that needs to be vacuumed up.
If you can trace my footsteps, it's, yeah.
Yeah, I throw everything in the actual garbage.
Yeah.
I, you know, maybe occasionally I'll eat, like, a Quaker Oats nature bar or something that's kind of crumbly, and some of it will get in the...
I spilled...
But that's in the bed.
I set my plate... It was half full of shit, and so I set this part that was half full on the part of the dresser that isn't the dresser, so I set it down, and it just went straight onto the floor. You can see the salsa and shit over there, and I ate it anyways.
All right, well, so they're going to have to vacuum.
Yeah. so it's
But in my room, they don't have to bother. If I were, you know, a person cleaning rooms, I would look around and assess whether or not vacuuming needed to happen. I guess you'd get in trouble if you didn't vacuum, but... Let's say you're in this room trying to sleep this morning. Like, the service the hotel provides should be not a bunch of noise. Anyway, yeah, it should be quiet. So stop vacuuming, hotels. Next thing you know, I'm staying in a disgusting room because they never vacuum. On the plane to Houston, I saw enough of Mr. Popper's Penguins, which is probably about half of it. And it's cute. It's cute. But, yeah. It's especially great if you love watching fake penguins, because they never seem real to me, and they do things that penguins wouldn't do.
How's Jim Carrey?
He does things that Jim Carrey shouldn't do.
I have that hair.
So he's long. Funny. He's good. It's just like, it's just so weird that he kind of like, it's almost like he's taking that step into the Eddie Murphy zone, where it's like, he's just going to make family, like a family comedy where, you know, he throws in a lot of his goofy stuff, but like, his real talent is how crazy he can be, you know? Mm-hmm. And why play a guy who's got penguins and is trying to be a good dad, you know what I mean? It's his Mrs. Doubtfire, to be sure. And
but Mrs. Doubtfire was pretty good, I thought.
Okay, well, it's been nice having you on the show.
And, I wouldn't compare it to Mr. Popper's Penguins. I've never seen it, but Mrs. Doubtfire... Granted, I was like 7 when it came out, that's what I saw.
Mrs. Doubtfire probably has its moments, but the funniest thing that ever happened to Mrs. Doubtfire is when David Cross dresses up as Mrs. Doubtfire on Arrested Development and tried to fly and crashed into a coffee table. That's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Anyway, but that's TV. What I'd really like to see is Rise of the Planet of the Penguins. That's the movie. That's the movie I want to see. I want to see the penguins finally fight back instead of just being cute.
Yeah, I go with that.
Thanks to Joe Rogan, Sean and I got to go to the UFC on Saturday night at the Toyota Center here in Houston. And that was amazing.
It was
amazing card. Some amazing fights. Dope.
So awesome. It was one of the raddest things I've ever gotten.
Really fun. The best seats he's gotten me yet, like 5th row I think we were in.
Yeah.
And still, I managed to be really angered by the fact that Snooki and the Sitch had even better seats. But they were 3 rows ahead of us.
I got to look at Snooki in the situation, whereas if they were behind us, I would have had to turn around and be that guy who was looking at Snooki in the situation. So I got to actually see them.
Right, we got to eyeball the backs of the heads without having to rubberneck at all. Yeah. We just looked at it. And we watched him take a lot of pictures, and the face he makes whenever a picture is being taken is classic. It's the most non-committal face you can make. It's like, yeah, I'll take a picture with you, but, you know, that's as far as I'm going to go commitment-wise. I'll make the sideways V. What does that even mean? Does that mean something?
It means I'm an asshole.
Sideways.
A peace sign.
Sideways vagina?
In case anything cool happens in the next 15 seconds, I might have to leave this photo opportunity kind of thing.
It's been pointed out to me and by a few different folks on Twitter... Oh, not and by, just by. It's been pointed out to me by a few folks. I can't read my own writing sometimes. That Skeleton Key, I refer to it as being an Asian remake, an American Asian remake, and that's supposedly not the case.
That movie came out like 5 years ago, didn't it?
Yeah. The argument is that that's the best Kate Hudson movie.
Oh.
That she's ever made. And that's not very good.
I like Almost Famous.
Almost Famous is a great movie, but I exclude that because my point was that after Almost Famous, she hasn't made a good movie.
Oh.
Same with... I hear Machine Gun Preacher's pretty good, but I think that Gerard Butler hasn't made a good movie since 300.
Bounty Hunter, dude.
Oh, you like Bounty Hunter?
No, I don't like Bounty Hunter.
There was some controversy on the Portland shows. Build a title over that whole Predators... Tomato, tomato thing.
Yeah.
And to everyone who's been mentioning that to me, I say, who cares? Build a title is so low stakes that it's funny to me that people. I think it's fun when they write and say, here's what you could have said. That's kind of cool. But quibbling over the rules of it or whatever, the Predators with the, you know, that title.
That was one of the longer ones I've heard. I had fun doing that one.
Yeah, it ended up being a good one, but. People were quibbling.
Well, we spent about 10 minutes on the actual podcast quibbling about that.
Yeah. They would quibbling on Twitter should be called queeting. It's like queefing, but even less useful.
Less gross.
Yeah, or gross. At Miles Tracy suggested to me on Twitter that Matthew Broderick should make a movie called I Don't Know How She Does It. The unofficial sequel to... I don't know how he does it is what it should be called. God damn it. I'm so terrible at this. We should re-record this show.
Are they making another Ferris Bueller?
Did you hear that?
I've heard it multiple times that they're going to do one of Ferris Bueller takes a day off of work or something. Like Ferris Bueller's day off, but it's of his job. And I've never actually seen any proof, but I was wondering if maybe you knew anything, because I had a bunch
of people. Who wants to even see that that guy got a job? Because that him having a job is so antithetical to the whole point of that movie, and yeah. And also him taking a day off from it. I guess they could flip it and make it like he's miserable, and like, I mean, I don't think Alan Ruck's going to be in it because he's not really much of a name these days. No. Mia Sara, I think she's still cute, but. Regardless, did he marry Sloane? And can we blame that Sloane on the Sloane from Entourage, that name coming up again? Because when I saw Ferris Bueller, the first time I saw it, I was sitting there going, Ferris and Sloane, fuck you. Like, what are these names? Like, you can't just make up, you know, this white suburban Chicago, they're not making up crazy names like that, unless their parents are super rich.
I've heard of Sloane as an, I've never heard of Ferris. Yeah, in my entire
except
life.
For probably since then, there's probably some Ferrises.
Not that.
There's that band, Save Ferris. Anyway, I hope they don't make a sequel. That's a terrible idea. Because Matthew Broderick is not cool at all anymore. There's nothing cool about him. He's, you know, I like him. He's a good actor. But, you know, watch Election again instead of making a... That's what I want him to do. Watch that movie again instead of making a Ferris Bueller. It's like John Hughes is dead. Like, that's not even fair.
Oh.
Like, with him not around, you know?
I didn't want you to yell at me. I was just asking if they were making another
Listen, you asshole. You have to stop this, and I have to...
I'll stop. I have to
apologize to Miles Tracy for saying... I scribbled it down today, and as I often do... That's another thing. On Twitter, when I have a typo or something, people always write... Good one, Stoner, or you spelled it wrong, Stoner. And I always have to write back, yeah, people who aren't high spell everything perfectly all the time.
I have to think up new words if I don't know how to spell it. If I'm trying to tweet something and it's like a word I don't know how to spell, I just rephrase the whole tweet.
So oh, yeah. It's not you don't want to... I don't attempt words I can't spell. I just... Like, today I just said happy 9-10, everybody, because I'm used to saying 9-whatever... through the whole bunch.
Then right above it, happy 10.
We're 10 days into October. I'm still not used to calling it 10... Whatever. So, I don't know how he does it is the movie that Matthew Broderick should make, and that would have been a funny joke if I'd have said it right. Yesterday, 199 people braved the first rain in Houston in quite a while, to which I say, you're welcome, Houston, that I brought the rain.
Made the rain? Brought the ruckus?
Yeah, but I also, that also probably kept some people from coming out, but 199 people did, and for the show at the Improv at 420. Sean Jordan went down in just one round in the Leonard Maltin game against a young lady named Mel, short for Melvin. how many names was it? She gave you 11 names.
11 names.
She called that an Aukerman. She called that a Scott Aukerman move, to most of the audience's absolute... disinterest. No, there was definitely some podcast fans there, and they probably understood the reference. And she said 11 names to you. The category was no, she didn't. Uh-huh. And movies with a contraction. And unfortunately, even with a bunch of Wayans names in there.
Well, but all the Wayans are in all the Wayans movies. Like, that doesn't narrow it down. The other names would have narrowed it down, and they didn't. I was almost. I was only 3 years
old. Yeah, but what other Wayans movie has a contraction in the title? I'm going to get you sucker, I guess.
Mo' Money, that was the one that I...
Mo' Money isn't a contraction, it's just spelling a word wrong.
It's got an apostrophe.
It's two letters instead of four.
Yeah,
oh, it does?
It does? It's got an apostrophe.
On the poster it says M-O apostrophe? Hmm?
But you're right, it's not really a contraction because there's not another...
There's not a rest there. Of it.
I didn't even think about
Morant,
that until just
Morant
now.
It's not Money. Moant Money.
It's been a whole day, and I still didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, no, yeah, I guess I was way wrong then.
Anyway, don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood was the answer, and I would have made him give the complete answer, to which you say you would have done that. You would have gotten that properly.
But that doesn't help.
And someone who didn't get picked to play, Sophia, had a Mac and Me name tag with a shithead written on the back that with a... She and I guess her boyfriend or husband showed me after the show. That's and right. I like that shithead name so much that I'll be closing this episode. I'll be ending this episode with that name. How are we doing on time? Oh, we're doing great on time. Last night, Sean and I went to the movies after the 420 show. And we saw Real Steel, the number one movie in the country. That was our excuse for going. It said it was number one and started at the right time. Did not have to see it in 3D.
No.
It's produced by Steven Spielberg, which upsets me that Steven Spielberg, you know, puts his name on a lot of stuff that's not, I don't feel is as good as, it's more Transformers Spielberg than Super 8 Spielberg, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We already talked about this at length last night, but it's like, I want to see a movie about fighting robots. I don't want to see a movie about a father and son that need to reconnect through fighting robots. Like, I know, I understand the humanizing part of it, but it's got to be done right. Like, either make an escapist fighting robot movie or make a goddamn father and son learning to love again movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's ways to make it about a father and son without, like, the just way they did it was so bad.
So lame at every turn. Yeah. How mean he is at first. Such his transition to being that. Like, Hugh Jackman's a good actor. The little kid's good.
Yeah.
You know, he's no Jake Lloyd from Star Wars episode.
He looks like Jake Lloyd.
Same kid, but much better actor. And then Lily Evangeline from Lost is not a problem to look at.
No.
She's not a hassle to watch in a movie.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. But that was another thing, like, her part was just so, like, I think she's only in it as much as she is because she's beautiful and she's, you know, people know her. The scene where she comes to the big fight, they keep cutting to her going, do this, do that. It's like, what you're saying in the stands does not affect the outcome at all. And yeah. why do we keep cutting to you saying these things?
And she's crying for half of those shots. She's got one tear in her.
Yeah, if she knows so much about fighting, they should have just made her also in the corner. That's my favorite part, though, is that they had in between rounds, they had a stool for the robot to sit
on.
A fucking stool for a robot to sit on.
These robots get tired.
The robot has to sit down. So crazy.
Anyhow, it's a stool that a 1,000-pound robot can sit on, but Hugh Jackman can just pick it up like it's a fucking dustbuster and set it.
Oh yeah, it looks like when he's holding it, it just looks like he's holding an empty bucket. It's so light, and then the robot crashes down on it. But just the fact that they even have a stool there is fantastic. And I think that movie, I might need to do a movie interruption with that one, even though I'm loath to sit through it a second time. It'd be really fun to sit there and comment during it because there's just so much silliness.
That was the thing, like watching it. All I wanted to do was talk shit, but you can't. I don't know.
We did a little bit, you know. But the next movie interruption I'm actually doing in Los Angeles is this Thursday night at Cine Family. I'm going to watch the original Fright Night and see if that holds up. I didn't like the new one.
I was going to ask. I thought the new one was okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I mean, got a little weird in the middle with, like, the whole David Blaine, or whatever that guy's name was.
They got David Tennant from Doctor Who, which is cool, but then that whole character is just a misfire, and then it just drove me crazy how much crying and angst and stuff there was in a scary movie about two young boys and how they used to be friends and now they're not anymore.
Yeah.
Because one's not a nerd anymore. Beef. Like, the nerd culture is at a point where the handsomest boy on earth can play a nerd in a movie, and he doesn't have to have glasses with the tape on it. He could just like comic books.
Yeah.
It doesn't. Zac Efron can like fucking comic books. It doesn't have to be, I'm a nerd because I like or don't like comic books. I'll be joined at the Fright Night screening by 2/3 of Human Giants, schedule permitting.
Really?
Schedules permitting. Yeah, and I won't say which two of the three, but
doesn't matter.
You could probably guess. It's probably guessable. Anyway, weird thing happened though during Real Steel last night that I wanted to mention.
Yeah, I was going to wonder.
There was this weird mass walk-in, like about an hour into it. All these people started walking into the theater and taking seats. And I thought, is this a weird Houston thing? Like, because I haven't seen something like that in forever. Like, I've seen, you know, every once in a while you see a group of kids or something walk into a movie way late because, you know, they're just switching theaters. But this was like 30 or 40 people streaming in. And everyone as they would walk by or sit down or near us, I'd go, what? It's been on for an hour.
That little kid said something.
A little kid tried to respond to me. He was like, bah, 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 bah. And I was just like, what? And So the movie was so boring, it was driving me so crazy why all those people suddenly walked in. I guess it would have been easy to figure out. The IMAX screen, the fake IMAX screen that they were playing it on, I guess they had, you know, projector, like it took a shit, so they told the whole audience, go ahead and go to this other theater.
Go ahead and creep everybody out in that other theater.
Go back in and watch probably 15, 20 minutes of it that you've already seen again, and then sit through the rest. And they all seemed to do it.
And they did.
Fairly happily.
People clapped at the end of the movie. That was the biggest.
Yeah, clapping when it was over.
I haven't heard that. I didn't even hear that after when I saw like Super 8 or something that is actually pretty emotional. And then Real Steel, there's people clapping.
Well, Super 8, that's where they lose me. Is I use that as an example of how great the characters and story is up until towards the end. I didn't care for how they resolved everything.
Didn't like the alien flying away?
Hey, there's no reason to spoil it for the people that wait for forever.
Yeah, there is.
Isn't it already?
You should have seen
it. It's probably already on DVD, isn't it? Maybe not.
I don't know, but you should have seen it.
Anyway, but I love the first like hour or so of that movie, especially the kids and the train crash. I think are all extremely well done and an example of how like it was a throwback to how Spielberg with Jaws and Close Encounters and Raiders had interesting characters first. And then all this amazing stuff going on. I mean, I guess the amazing stuff probably came first, but they just did a good job of putting good characters in there, whereas you don't give a shit about anyone in Transformers movies or anyone in, like in Real Steel, if a robot had suddenly tore that kid's head off, I wouldn't have been that upset. I actually would have. I would have applauded the ending. Let me reiterate, though. The kid is good. He's a good little actor, but man, the motivation of the characters, every step of the way, you're like, why are you saying this? Why are you behaving this way? Why does this kid know everything about robots and how to fix them? And, like, they don't set that up very well other than him just saying that he plays video games. Because he knows how to speak Japanese at one point.
Yeah, what the fuck? They don't even...
He just goes, because I play video games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I learned how to speak Japanese playing Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, back when video games weren't as advanced.
Mario Kart taught me three languages. trailer alert. Yeah, it's time to talk about some trailers. Because we saw a lot of them last night. And it was exciting. The first one was Steven Spielberg's new movie, War Horse.
Yeah, that looks weird.
It looks pretty crazy. It looks like a lot of war and a lot of a horse. But I'm telling you, the way that trailer was put together, when it said a Steven Spielberg film, I totally goosebumped out. Mm-hmm. I got very tingly about that, so hopefully it'll be good. It's based on a play that's supposed to be great, where dudes dress up as horses.
I had some guy after the show trying to explain to me what it was about, because I don't know what it's about, and I still don't after the trailer, but the trailer looks awesome. So,
well, I mean, excited to see it. What do you mean?
Well, it's just...
War horse! It's a horse that fights in war! Or but doesn't necessarily fight, but helps out in some way.
But there's nobody on it. That's what I'm saying. Like the whole.
Well, there's a lot of scenes of the horse just running around on its own. I think, because if I may dare to guess what the plot is, I think it's because he gets separated from the guy who owns him in the war.
I think.
And then he finds his way back home. But along the way, he makes some new friends.
Now I know what it's about.
It's like Saving Private War Horse. and then what other trailers? We saw the stupid Three Musketeers thing where it's like...
Oh, Puss in Boots.
Puss in Boots looks awesome, you guys.
Yeah, it does.
There's a couple jokes in the trailer that don't land, but there are several things in the trailer that made me laugh out loud.
Yeah, there was a lot.
And made it, I will take that risk and see the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because
sure.
I always thought Puss was a funny character in those Shrek movies, but I got tired of the whole Shrek thing by the fourth part. But this Puss in Boots is... And Zach is a voice in it. Zach Galifianakis is a voice of somebody. And
I'll go see that in 3D, I think, just to make it fun.
I think it'll be... Oh, come on. Don't say that.
What?
Not in front of me.
I will.
Okay.
You're bummed on that?
I'm going to see it in 2D. Because the fun should be in the writing and the characters and the...
But
story,
it's an event.
And not in... every once in a while, a sword is going to come out towards you.
It's a cartoon.
In a Puss in Boots cartoon.
It makes more fun to go see a cartoon.
I will give you that cartoon 3D is where I do tolerate it, because How to Train Your Dragon was really cool in 3D.
Yeah, and I saw Alice in Wonderland and Transformers in 3D, and neither one of them...
Oh, don't...
good at all.
Alice in Wonderland. What? Why is that in 3D? Nothing ever.
I have no idea. It was first 3D, except for Captain EO. That was the first 3D movie I ever went to.
And well, Captain EO is going to always be the best 3D movie.
Well, it was the best
Because shit comes and floats around out in front of your head.
Yeah, it was.
That
awesome.
Never happens in any of these 3D movies.
No, it was. Yeah, there's like long 3D scenes in Captain EO.
Yeah. Anyway.
Did I mess that up from getting it wet? Like.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just trying. I'm trying to open it. Sean brought me an envelope with my name on it, and it says it's a Super Friends envelope. And as I guessed, it's one of those things where you write. It's like stationery that you seal up into a letter, and then you send it.
Gotcha. Yeah, my friend Jen gave it. She wanted me to give it to you last week, and I forgot it at her house.
This is a girl named Jen.
It's a girl named Jen. I was staying.
Do you think she'd be embarrassed if I just read it out loud?
I don't know. What does it say?
I won't tell you. What you already know, but to confirm, you're pretty rad. All right, this is getting personal.
Well, you are pretty rad. I'll get her back on that.
Thanks for being you. Thank you for coming to Portland. Oh, so she was at the show?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Did I meet her afterwards?
Yeah, I think so. I was staying at her house since I'm kind of homeless right now. So, yeah.
She wrote something and took it back. Like a whole sentence and a half that she scribbled over. And then she said, thank you for continuous creative output. You give hope to the comedians in, crossed out again, training. She wants to be a comic?
She is a comic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But still, she's calling herself one in training. Says it again in parentheses after her name. But look for Jen Allen, everybody. And I can't even place a face to that name, so I'll have to meet her the next time I'm in town.
For sure.
Oh, and we saw the trailer for John Carter, which makes no sense.
Yeah, that was the
epic sci-fi. Yeah, epic sci-fi sword and sorcery.
Yeah.
Movie from Disney called John Carter. Like, and I like that guy. I like he played Riggins on Friday Night Lights.
There's another movie that it reminded me of last night. I couldn't think of it at all. But yeah, and we also saw the Three Musketeers trailer, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, again, it's just, you know...
Uncalled for.
Explosions in a Three Musketeers movie is, like, that's so dumb. I mean, maybe an occasional gunpowder situation, but...
Well, and, like, that was with the fucking things from the future that weren't around.
Yeah, it's like that horrible Wild Wild West movie where they had all these crazy contraptions, even though it takes place in the Old West. Hey, you, meaning listeners, can play the Leonard Maltin game against Graham Elwood in Flagstaff, Arizona at the Orpheum Theater on November 12th and in Phoenix at Stand Up Live on October 13th. Shall we play a game, Sean?
Yeah, let's play one.
Let's play it quick. The show's running a little long. We got to jump in a cab and go to the airport. We're going to Nashville today to do a show tonight at Zany's Comedy Club. And, I'll also be at Zany's in Chicago on Saturday, October 15th at 4:20. And if you wear a name tag, you might get to play Leonard Maltin against Dan Gabriel at that show. But, again, Hashville, I like to call it, tonight. And so I decided to go with movies set in or shot in Tennessee. And we'll have Sean go first. I've already made some predictions about where this could go to... Because I don't pick movies where one end is a stopper, if I can help it. And set or shot in Tennessee, I think it was both, is a movie called Black Snake Moan. So what have you got for that? You got to start it with moan or end it with black?
Black Snake Mona Lisa Smile.
Wow! I didn't even predict that one. I thought we could go... Black Snake Moaning Mahoney. Because there's that movie Owning Mahoney.
Never heard of that.
Okay, Blacks with Seymour Hoffman, I think. So Black Snake Mona Lisa Smile. Oh, that smile might be a tough one there. Smile. They're smiling. I know there was a movie called Smile. It was about a beauty pageant directed by Michael Ritchie. And it's kind of a... I haven't seen it in a long time, but I think it's probably a pretty good movie. If you want to go look at an old movie called Smile. Mona Lisa smiling, smiley face! Smiley face! Smiley face, starring Anna Faris. All right, Black Snake, Mona Lisa, smiley face.
Black Snake, Mona Lisa, Smiley Face Off.
All right. Could have gone Smiley Face in the Crowd, but I liked Smiley Face Off.
Is an awesome movie.
Yeah, it's...
I love
it. It's amazing on many levels, because it's... Parts of it are great on purpose. Parts of it are great as a complete accident.
That's so good.
But after that, I just tired of, like, that was the last time I was willing to watch a bunch of shots of birds in slow motion and all those John Woo staples.
Yeah.
What's John Woo doing now? Has he had a movie lately?
I don't think so.
He just quit? Or maybe he's just making movies we don't see.
Busy counting money.
Black Snake, Mona Lisa, Smiley Face Off. Off the charts, off the record, off. I can't think of an off, so I'm going to go on the other side in the interest of time and go with Men in Black Snake, Mona Lisa, Smiley Face Off.
All right.
So you need something that ends in men or begins in off, with off.
Company, Men in Black Snake, Mona Lisa, Smiley Face Off.
All right. And then, I know there's a band called Bad Company, but was there, there was also a movie called Bad Company, I think.
Yeah, it was Michael Bay, right? Wasn't Bad Company, though? Wasn't
Bad it? Boys was Michael Bay.
I know. But I swear Bad Company was... Maybe not Michael Bay. I'm going to check as soon as we're done.
I'm going to check right now. Why wait?
I
think Bad Company was like a family comedy from like the 70s or something.
Bad.
So, I got to double check it. This is a long episode. Oh, we got to get going too.
Bad.
Bad Company. Go. Bad Company, Men in Black Snake, Mona Lisa, Smiley Face Off. Oh no, Bad Company. There's been two Bad Companies. That's always great when they use the title over again. Maybe three. But the one I was thinking of was Jeff Bridges in 1972. And then there was one with, there was an Anthony Hopkins, Chris Rock movie.
Called
Bad Company.
Yeah, that's right.
So that's, hence the confusion.
All right.
So, what do you got? You got anything that ends in company or begins in off?
No.
Ends in bad. Something bad.
No, not.
Bad is always the first word. Bad teacher, bad Santa.
Yeah, I can't.
Blank, bad. Breaking Bad. Season finale was last night. Haven't seen it yet. No spoilers, please.
Don't put anything in
Twitter. On Twitter, I've just been reading people talking about how amazing it is.
I can't think of anything.
All right, well, that's a good long one, and we got to get running anyway. So we end up with Bad Company, Men in Black Snake, Mona Lisa, Smiley Face Off. Not too bad. You got any plugs, Sean? Anything coming up you want people to go to?
October 27th, Portland, Oregon, Hollywood Theater, Moshe Kasher, Ron Funches, Ian Carmel, Shane Torres, and me. It'll be awesome.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun.
If you can't make it to that, if you're not, you know, in Portland and you want to come to Vancouver or you're in Vancouver, I will be there October 27th, same night, at the Comedy Mix in Vancouver in a hotel. And I've never been there before. I'm very excited about it. All my tour dates are douglovesmovies.com. Hope you're having a good Cocktober, everybody. Thanks to Sean Jordan for letting me come by his hotel room before we leave town. And as always, Steve Jobs' pancreas is a shithead. Nicely played, Sophia.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another Eyes of Gold. His viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause the